Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 883, A Chip Off the Old Anvil, recorded live on July 11th, 2024. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
And if you forgot, I'm your other co-host, Godzilla T, because it's been a while.
It's been a while, yes. Although it has not been as long between the last two podcasts. Two podcasts, it was 5 weeks. This one, it was 4 weeks.
Yeah, life has been getting in the way.
Yes.
Severely.
Yeah. Both of us have had some life stuff, again, that's come up, and I think we're both kind of thinking it's, at this point in our lives are kind of important at this point. So, podcast aside, we definitely are trying to change up some things, and we'll have more to share on that. In the coming weeks, I think I'm going to sync up with GT here and probably put out a survey of, like, what do folks want out of the podcast, what do folks expect out of the podcast, all that kind of stuff. So, if you have your thoughts, come join our Discord, podtacular.com/discord after I fix that. Because I'll tell you that in a second. And come share what you would like us to talk about. We've got several books that are coming down the pipeline. I think GT mentioned he's going to be on vacation, so I think we're missing next week's podcast, but the podcast after that...
No, I'll be here for next week.
Oh, okay. Well, not next week, but the week after.
That's my next scheduled days off.
Okay, well...
The vacation is Monday through Wednesday.
Okay. Well, my thought is the next podcast after that, we could do Shadows of Reach and what was the one I just finished? Divine Wind? Yeah, Divine Wind. Since those kind of...
Yeah.
They're different story arcs because there's one of it's the Master Chief and then the Ferret Team, but I like how they tied into each other. So it's like, let's just carry that through. We go from Reach to the arc. So there you go. Kind of has this interesting little thread.
Speaking of reaching. Oh.
Yes. Care to elaborate? Or am I not caught up on the books enough for you to elaborate? I'm only, what, two, three books?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
How many books am I behind now? Three? Two?
I don't know. I forgot where you were.
I just finished Divine Wind. That's the one where the Ferret Team was on the Ark.
Okay, let's see. I have to get my library out. Let's see.
And thank you, Spotify Premium, for having the audiobooks on there included with Premium, because that's been my saving grace at the moment.
So, okay, the last one was Epitaph. You have Outcasts, Rubicon Protocol. So, yeah, three books.
Okay. A lot better than five, which was last year. A lot better than 12, which was the year before, and a lot better than 17. Well, it does
help that they slowed down the volume of books that they are putting out,
too. Yes, because there was a couple of years where they had 6 books in a year, and it's like, why do you do this? So now I think they're down to, what, 2 or 3 on average a year?
2 or 3?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Rotating between Kelly Gay.
And Troy Denning,
yeah. And then they bring in some other ones every now and then. And we've got 2 new little audio excerpts on Waypoint, which I think after I get through all the books, we might just kind of pile those into one podcast or something. So aside from books, podcasts, I need to get my butt in gear and actually get some interviews lined up for the podcast as well. And I'm thinking what we just do is if there's big news stuff, we talk about it. If not, keep the news to a month. Monthly cadence for news.
Recap.
Which we're kind of at that point again because the last podcast was 4 weeks ago, so we're kind of okay, we're gonna do a news show again. Just to get our feet wet. But before that, a little recap on I guess what's been going on with our lives since we've been gone for the last month. We've had several things rotate in for Halo Infinite. We had multi-team. I don't know if you all played that at all, because it was the only 8-part or 2v2v2v2, so it's hard to do that for Fred and Friday, but we'll talk
no,
about that.
No, actually,
a little bit.
Yeah, we kind of blew right through that one really quick.
Yeah.
So I never got a chance to actually try that one.
I did try it out a few times. I did some dailies in it, so I dipped my toes mm-hmm. into the featured playlist and do that. It was okay. I'll dive into my experience with that in a little bit, but it's good to see multi-team at least back.
Yeah. I mean, multi-team was always fun, especially when you had somebody to play it with, not just randoms.
Yes. Very true. This latest combat workshop item is pretty interesting as well. The sentry defense.
Mm-hmm.
Did you all
have not played it yet? Play that?
No? Okay.
Not yet.
Really? You all didn't play it last week?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I would say we could try it this week.
We didn't play last week.
We're not going to have a Fragment Friday tomorrow. Sorry. Those on the live stream.
Yes, I have
prior
some friends.
Engagements. GTS prior engagements. Yes.
Well, we got some friends coming in that I haven't seen in a long time, so I'd like to spend some time. They're only going to be here for a few days, and I'd like to make it a point to actually be there. Seeing I have to work two of the days anyway, if they'll be here.
That sucks. And then my wife and I are going to a couples massage class tomorrow. So we're doing that. So no Fragment Friday for this Friday.
But feel free to get together and have your own.
Yep. I'm sure there'll be folks on playing. Bobby and Louie and Whoopini will probably all be playing Speg Confal. Aside from that, I think that's kind of all the Halo-related Podtacular stuff going on. Life stuff. Things are just kind of muddling along, so that's why the podcasts have been a little bit sporadic. I've had some family stuff come up. GT's had some long nights at work. And at this point, we're just trying to get through life, so that's
yeah, the joys of moving into management.
Yay.
Of which I'm still waiting for my boss's boss's boss to approve my promotion.
Okay. Sure. Anyways, but last week was 4th of July for those of us here in the U.S. of A. So we had no podcast then. Previous week was had a family medical issue that came up, so had to kind of scrap that. I forget what the previous week was for. Yeah. A little bit of Podtacular news to talk about, too. I think I hinted this before in the podcast. I can't remember since we've had so few podcasts of lately. But I know I shared this with the regular group on Fragment Friday and in our Discord. We had to move hosting plans because HostGator, which is currently who hosts our website, changed the way that they did their hosting packages. The smaller packages, where all their packages used to have unlimited disk storage for all their plans. And they changed that, no surprise, because of rising costs for web hosting and just everything in general. And we had all the podcast files actually hosted on the website hosting. Needless to say, that's about 40 gigs worth of audio data. And the hosting plan that we have is only supporting 20 gigs. So I had to thin out the podcast directory. And actually what I'm doing now is hosting kind of the older library of podcasts on a Raspberry Pi, which is actually sitting right here at the moment. So everything up through episode 870, and yes, that is from episode 1 to episode 870, are being hosted off my Raspberry Pi. It's all referenced to podtacular.net, since I actually have that domain. And then the more recent episodes are going to be on the website. That's going to be until I migrate the podcast over to Anchor, which is now Spotify for podcasts. It's a podcast hosting platform. You can actually host the podcast files on there and host the podcast feed in its entirety there. So the idea is to move the actual podcast feed and all the relevant stuff off the website and into what was Anchor, now Spotify for podcasts, and host the podcast there, alleviating the stress on the website hosting, and that will just purely be website stuff. Still debating on whether or not to post each episode on the website as we release them. We don't really get a lot of web traffic there for doing the podcast anyway, so might save that for some other things. And there's a piece of lint in front of the camera. Sorry. I can actually see it in floating there. It's like 5 inches from the camera. Whee! So if you've seen some wonkiness with getting access to podcasts or the website over the past 2 or 3 weeks or so, is because I was doing some changes on the back end and getting things kind of situated for this new finagement of podcast hosting and website hosting stuff. So that's coming. We also have all the podcasts now up on YouTube, all the mainline Podtacular episodes, some of the specials as well, all the Halo 4 specials that we did for the campaigns, Spartan Ops, there's a couple multiplayer maps that we did, are all up there. Our decade show for 10 years of Halo is also up there. Our E3 specials and some of those things. There's a few other kind of specials that I haven't put on there yet. Those will come up over time, but all the mainline stuff is now in video form on YouTube. And with it being tagged as a podcast feed, you can also just listen to it, I think, through the YouTube Music app. So it's the same audio as the podcast feed audio, but now there's even another option since Google Podcasts is no longer a thing. So, yeah.
Yay, Google getting rid of something else that everybody was using.
Google comes up with one good idea and then kills off three others.
Anyway.
So, yeah, all that's been going on in the background for the last at least month, if not 2 months. And I was very happy when I found the one thing in After Effects that was making encoding times take 8 hours just for an hour episode. And now it's going down. Now it takes 40 minutes to export an hour long episode for that. So
yeah, you got to watch those effects. They can screw with you.
The funny thing was, it was a noise effect, and I don't know why I put it on. There was a tutorial that I followed a long time ago for doing kind of what I wanted. So the video podcast format is the podcast artwork as the background. It's blown up and kind of fuzzy as kind of a mosaic background. Then the actual podcast artwork, the title, the host, the date, and then there's a little audio bar thing that you
confirm. Yeah.
Yeah. That you see on typical stuff. And I had a noise effect. I don't know why. When I toggled it off, I didn't see any visual difference. And it literally was like a 10-time increase in processing speed for that one effect that did nothing. So I'd spent at least a good part of either the last year or the year before exporting all the way up through episode 500. And I basically had my streaming PC on probably 270 days out of the year just to export stuff. And then when this whole website thing happened, I was like, what's taking so long on these encodes? Because I started encoding it on my new gaming rig, which has a 1300K series processor, a 3070. It's like, it shouldn't be taking this long. And I toggle that thing on, and it goes from an 8-hour encode for an hour-long podcast down to 40 minutes. It's like, well, there's my problem.
Yeah, if I could have just learned that 2 years sooner. Oh.
Right. So now for the podcast, it's export the audio, pull it into After Effects, pump that out, and now I've got a whole new streamlined thing for doing the podcast as well. So, yeah. Yay. Been doing a lot of that work, so while we may not have been having a lot of episodes, there's been a lot of work that I've been doing on in the background, just kind of tidying things up for the podcast. So, yeah. All that should be done, so the only other major change, like I said before, is the migration of the podcast feed over to Spotify for podcasts. And then that should be kind of the last of the moving and shaking as far as the actual podcast itself. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much all I had as far as the podcast stuff. And yeah, anything else that you have, GT, before we jump into the Halo news?
Nope.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump on into things. I mentioned BTB, Sentry Defense, earlier, so might as well just jump into that. I've played it several times over the last week and a half or so. It definitely adds a new element to the BTB experience, and I think it's definitely one of those things where you can kind of incorporate it into a new game mode.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like the zone defense type stuff. So you have, from the Halo Infinite campaign, Adjutant Resolution, and there's two of them. Fun fact, the repair field does work on it, for those that have played it. The mechanics basically are, it's the same way that you have to defeat Adjutant Resolution in the campaign. There's the little glowing things. You have to shoot those to actually damage it. And you whittle the boss down over time. It's stationary. It's in predetermined spots for every match. Each team has two of them. At the bottom of the score is 2,000. So you basically have to do 2,000 damage. It's 1,000 per sentry that you have. And the idea is to destroy the other teams, both of the sentries, to win. The score does kind of give you an idea of how much damage both teams have taken for their sentries. There is no influence on killing enemies like there was in Warzone for Halo 5 as far as the scoring thing. It's purely, the score is purely based off the damage that you're doing to the sentries in this mode. It's a lot of fun. From my perspective, I mean, don't just take my word for it. I'd highly recommend going and trying it. It does give a new kind of sense to that territory defense mode. And there is a glaring problem with it. There are times where you get right into a match and the game bugs for some reason, so it's just a tie. So that happened for me maybe one out of every five games that I played this mode. So it is a little buggy. It is a community made game mode, but I have found some good fun with it. I hope they keep it around past I hope it's around for this battle pass or this operation time frame, because it's a lot of fun, in my opinion. The game mode takes place on Fragmentation, High Power, Deadlock, Oasis, Scar, and Command, and which is a community made map, and that's, funny enough, that's the one map I have not played this mode on. It's a Unicy-based map, similar to Live Fire Aesthetics, but it's a, I don't quite get what the layout is. I haven't played it yet, so I'm not entirely sure. But definitely worth the checking out, in my opinion. And of course, Sentry Defense comes with the Anvil operation. And for those that are playing along at home, yes, this is the same kind of Anvil operation or season that was in MCC. They're going off the same thing, referencing the Anvil Station, which is where UNSC and Sangheili kind of co-opted research together. And there is stuff in the store and customizations that highlight that. So a Covenant-looking rocket launcher, which actually seems kind of interesting. And a whole set of customizations in the operation pass to go with it. That's all I'll say on that. Nothing. Battle pass is mostly just customization stuff. And the big thing is, for me, the game modes and the map. So Sentry Defense being the mode and the one map I haven't played yet. And I don't think you've played either yet.
No, I haven't jumped in yet. So.
Okay. So. That's where we are with Halo Infinite, with the latest operation. Over on Waypoint, we had our latest series of Forge features. And we actually played one of these maps, I think, in Big Team. I can't remember if it was the last Fragment Friday. Did I host the last Fragment Friday? Or did you host last week and I hosted the week before? I forget.
You hosted the last one. Well, we split hosted. I started it. You picked it up after I signed off.
I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, but there was a map that we played, and it was actually in this Forge feature. It's called Kingdom, and it looks like it's a recreation similar to a Halo 5 map. It's kind of like a castle style map with a semicircle infrastructure on one side and waterfall and kind of open courtyard in the middle on kind of the other outside of the map. That was fun to play on, and it's not an exact recreation of the map from the Forge map from Halo 5, but it's a pretty
Pretty close.
Yeah. I don't know if this was intentionally made off of that map. There's no mention in the Forge feature that it is the same map or it's a remake of the same map, but it seems like that's what it was inspired off of. And then there's some other maps which I haven't seen make their way into matchmaking. There's a few that are just kind of fun ones, and there's one that's kind of a campaign creation one called Campaign Op Assault on Cryptum. So it has some Forerunner style Forge elements, and I think you play against AI for that map. And then, of course, Forklift Sumo, which I might have to download that for a custom night and give that one a try. Because that actually have a... No, I think I may have played this at some point. Or at least a version of this. Maybe we did it on one of our custom nights. When I got party leader and moved over to things. I want to say I played it because you have a button that you can actually raise and lower the prongs on the forklift. And you can kind of flip somebody. I think we may have played this on one of our little customs foray, either when I was hosting or after you got off or something like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of custom modes, did you get to try the multi-team at all?
No, unfortunately, I did not.
Rotation? Okay. I guess I'm going to be doing a lot of talking on this podcast tonight. I did get a chance to play it a few times. I went in solo and played it. I didn't get a chance to hop on with anybody and tag team. But it was... The maps that they chose for it were a little difficult to navigate. There was one that was a space station, and it's low gravity everywhere except for a certain part of like the station in it, so it made things really, really awkward. And each enemy team was the same color as far as your friend or foe, and apparently there was a feedback survey that was supposed to be done after this, and granted this was out a little while ago, over 2 weeks ago, and I think the survey may have just closed and I missed it, but it was one of the things with multi-team, especially some of the customs, is being able to pick out which team you're fighting from a distance, because if there's one team that's really far ahead, you might avoid trying to kill off other team members and focus on the team that's winning to kind of give you an edge. So yeah. I feel like that's one downfall of the system is, and I don't know if there's a way that they could change how they can do the friend and foe tag part without overriding your settings, because that's a configurable setting that you can have for Infinite, is you can change what your ally color is and what your foe color is. And since that's only two options, when you add multi-team in there, it kind of throws the whole thing out of whack. Snickerdoodle in the post for multi-team said, in past versions of multi-team, each squad had their own designated color. During the combat workshop, one of the main points of feedback we are interested in is how a Halo Infinite's friend or foe detection system works when it's friend versus all foes. It means you'll be able to tell who's on your team and then a color for everyone on opposite teams. And you won't know which team you're actually coming across as you're going through. So it definitely seems like they're aware that it's a limitation, and hopefully people provided feedback on that, because I think one of the key aspects of multi-team is actually knowing which team you're facing. And it's like, okay, do I engage that team or do I hunt for the other team that's in the lead to try to make sure they don't get a snowball effect and just keep going unchecked? Bobby makes an interesting point in the Twitch chat. Multi-team in Infinite really feels like a 2v6 due to the current friend or foe system.
Yeah.
Functionally, it worked, though. It was only Slayer, if I recall. I don't remember if there were other game modes that I had come across. I think it was only Slayer.
Multi-team in the past, I've always had the most fun with it when it's an objective-based.
Oddball?
So whether
or King of the Hill.
King of the Hill, Rocket Hog, Rocket Mongoose.
Rocket Race.
Yeah, Rocket Race, you know, or just race in general.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to just a Slayer match, it's not as, I don't think it works as well. Because that's exactly what seems to happen. It becomes 2v6. But if there's an objective, that you have to do the, to win the game, not just kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It does help that.
One of the traditional multi-teams that I think of is Tower of Power, Halo 2, Ascension. And there was definitely times where a certain team would get up on the tower and wreck. And if they got forced out of the tower, if the team that's at the bottom gets into the tower, everyone else is not worried about that team at that time. They're trying to figure out where the current leading team is and preventing them from actually getting to the tower. So, and granted, this is matchmaking. This isn't Tower Power, which Tower Power is a very specific custom compared to it. But I just think of that example where there is a distinct decision that you make on depending where you are in the game, what the state of the game is, what the score is, what the objective is. There's times where you make decisions to not engage a particular team because you need to go try to find where the team that's in the lead to level out the playing field a little bit.
Yeah. You know, something like Tower of Powers, I think, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, apparently there was King of the Hill, Oddball, Slayer, and Landgrab.
Yeah.
I guess I just got all Slayers when I played.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you would level the playing field on that. Maybe only kills while you're in the tower count. No other kill does.
Someone could create a custom of that in Forge, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you could.
Just how do you make the indestructible turret? I don't know how well it,
it can snowball the other way. Like you said, you get one team up there that just absolutely wrecks. They're the only one scoring points. But also, if you get them out of it, then you have six people trying to get it out of it in the current version, instead of you trying to get them out of it, but try to stay alive. Because you've got them you're fighting plus everybody else. If that doesn't score any points, then maybe it'd be more balanced. I don't know.
It would be interesting to see kind of an evolution of Tower Power.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wish I was a better forger, or that I was a forger, because I have some really good ideas. I just don't know how to operate the computer.
So you just got to hop on the Forge Discords or forums and be like, hey, I've got this idea. Someone want to try to, make this a thing?
Mm-hmm. Okay, any forger that's listening, build Tower of Power.
There you go.
And find a way to make the gameplay as fair as you can.
I mean, that one. I feel like Tower of Power, even on Ascension 2, was decently fair.
Yeah.
Grant, there are teams that can steamroll, but because of the duration of the game. So, typically for Tower Power, if you actually have four teams of four, you set the score to like 250. Mm-hmm. It takes a while. It's a good 20 or 30 minute game, but because of how long the game is, there are turning points where, okay, one team is in the tower for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, but eventually they get flooded, and then it's a battle for the tower for the next 2 or 3 minutes. And then one team finally gets a foothold, and then it's that team's turn in the tower. And it's like this rotation of tower control and everyone just swarming the tower, and it changes over like every 3 to 5 minutes. So it gets frustrating and annoying when you just die every 5 seconds for 2 or 3 minutes straight. But then when you finally get to a point where everyone's just rushing the tower and it's just this power grab of the tower, those are some of the best moments, because that's when everyone starts yelling and the microphones start peeking out everywhere. Anyways, flashbacks to some old geezers playing Halo.
Team Bubble Bath 2.
Actually.
Although it's probably not near as much fun in Infinite as it was in the Halo 2 era, because hardware limitations. Physics. In the earlier years.
Remember we did on Halo 3, I actually created the Forge map on it, and we yeah. tried it in Halo 3, did the boxes and everything. It's just the physics just get crazy with it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but
MCC handles it a lot better, but you can still get the frame rate to drop on MCC with Team Bubble Bap.
You can definitely make the Xboxes chug doing it. Because when he did that, I was running on the Scorpio, Xbox One Scorpio Edition, and I could hear the damn thing. If I took, if I just uncovered one of my ears, I could hear it running back there. Because that fan was doing everything it could to keep that GPU and CPU cool. And it would cause that to chug. And we knew who was on original Xboxes because they would start teleporting across the map.
You would get down to like one or two frames a second on those original Xboxes. Yeah. It was bad. Sometimes even less. It's like, I think I'm frozen. Nope, there's a frame. And then you wait another 3 seconds. Oh, I died twice while my screen was frozen.
Yeah. I would, on that thing, running that in Halo 3 on MCC, that thing was running, I was probably down to like in the teens for frame rate. But it was fun. Don't get me wrong. It was a lot of fun.
Does Infinite have the ability to swap out munitions per weapon like it does in Halo 5?
I don't know.
Like, I know Halo 5 was the glitch where it's like, okay, you could replace AR with, like, rocket ammo or something like that.
I think you can. I think they actually, like they did in Halo 5, I think they actually made it a weapon option.
So I wonder if, like, okay, everyone starts out with a needler, but then there's, like, a weapon in the center of, like, it's a modified...
rapid-fire skewer.
No, I was thinking, what's the bulldog? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like, it's the shotgun. What's the shotgun? What's the freaking shotgun? Bulldog. Make a bulldog shoot the needle rounds and have that be like a power weapon. And maybe it's just like a single clip. So you just get 6 shots on it and then you're done. Yeah. But that would be an interesting little power weapon to have in the middle of. I might actually have to break out Forge and make this. Add that to the whole list of other projects that I want to work on. Random tangent.
Yeah. How's Virgil doing?
How's what doing? The real world?
Virgil.
Oh, well.
Virgil is dead.
Yeah. Working on several other house things before I try to maybe dive into some of that stuff. There has been some things that have come up lately where it's like, I'm tempted to dabble in the Halo API, but I haven't gotten that kick yet.
Yeah.
On the same vein, I've been going down a little bit of a nostalgia trip lately. I don't know if you have ever heard of this game, and I don't know if anyone else has heard of this game, Lego Racers from 1999.
Never played it.
It was during that era where there were a whole bunch of kart games like Crash Bandicoot, Lego Racers, Mario Kart 64. I think there was like Looney Tunes Racer or something like that. There were like several different genres or IPs trying to do a kart game, and Lego had their version. And that's one of the games that I kind of grew up on when we got our first computers. It was that. It was some Star Wars. I don't think it was X-Wing Fighter. I forget what specifically it was. But it was like a fighter game, and you had different missions, and you could fly X-Wings, TIE Fighter, Y Fighter, a whole bunch of different things. That, and then there was, for those who grew up in the computer lab age, Zumbinis. I don't know if that rings a bell to anybody. And also another game called Bumper Wars, which was a Scholastic game. Arena thing. Kind of like racing meets.
So you've been playing the nostalgia game.
Yeah. And for some reason, my brain is now fixated on trying to mod Lego Racers. I don't know why. I spent the good part of 2 hours last night just watching YouTube videos and looking up modding tools, and there's actually quite a bit of mature resources for modding that game. And it's so old that the Bobby knows Zumbinis. I'm surprised with how young you are that you actually know Zumbinis. Anyways, the game is so old that the map files are literal just binary vertices, and it's a hierarchical of these are the vertices, and like this is just all the vertices that make up the map, and then it just references the texture and how it and does that. Like it's not as integrated as these modern games are. It's literally, okay, this file's for all the vertices, this file's for all the textures, this file is for all the pathing, this file is for all the power-ups, this file is for all the checkpoints, this file is for all the sounds, this file is for all the voices, this file is for all the text that appears on screen, this file is for the map view. So it's actually a pretty decently well documented game to mod, and it's like, okay, if I'm going off on a huge tangent, it's like if I could somehow get a Mario Kart map into Halo Racers and make it work, it's like, or Halo Racers, I just there's another game for you, Halo Racers into Lego Racers, then it's like I don't know why my mind is fixating on that. But that's what my mind's been obsessed with for the past week or so, and I have no idea why. It's like, I don't have time to do this. I have gardening to deal with. I have housework to deal with. I have a freaking kid. I've got two jobs. I've got to clean the house. I've got virtual. I've got the Halo API stuff that I'm interested in. I've got Home Assistant that I'm still working on setting up. It's like, I don't have time to do this, and then for some reason, I'm obsessed about this thing. I've got Halo books to read, for goodness sakes. Anyways.
Well, at least you do the Halo books while you mod.
I don't know if I could actually listen to the book without just completely toning that out and focusing on modding. Because part of modding is like, okay, you're watching YouTube videos or you're reading something and then checking it and then going back and see if you did it right or did it wrong and then recompiling and all that stuff. Oh, and apparently there's two versions of Lego Racers. One of them's a lot easier to mod than the other. I have the one that's not so easy to mod because you have to extract the files and then recompile the files, which is actually not a long process, but the older version, the 1999 version versus the 2001 version, which is the one I have, you can extract the files, and then the game can just read the files that are extracted. You don't have to actually recompile it back in. Except that one has a DRM check on it, so it has other limitations that the 2001 version doesn't have. So all that to say, yeah, anyways. Anywho, off of my tangent box, Forge. Well, I think we're talking about Forge, and then I diverted to that. Team Bubble Bath. So, yeah, maybe I could throw a quick map together and just test out Team Bubble Bath. And it's like, here's a Team Bubble Bath. If anyone wants to work on Forge and do it better, yeah, right. Don't have nearly enough time for that, Bobby. Then, yeah, maybe we can throw together, if next time we do customs, right, we can have a little Team Bubble Bath experience and see how it is and just kind of modify it. I don't know if it's possible to get the Blamite crystals from the new map that came out that was on Onsync's
Helios. I think they're a Forge item.
I mean, I would hope that they would be. So it could sprinkle that around the map. And then there's a question of, is it a completely flat area? Is it an area that has mounds? Can I put in little archways that someone can take cover in until someone explodes the little crystal thing?
You build it on Zanzibar just like in Halo 2.
There's no Zanzibar. Well, I guess someone has technically forged Zanzibar because it's in the squad battle. Do you want me to just take that map and rip it? And it's like, thank you, creators. I'm going to go make this tiny little part of the map that you made. And it's like, I mean, I guess I could.
Give them credit. That's fine.
I guess I could. If it's even possible to, if they have it published in such a way where I could pull it, make a copy of it, and be like, hey, here's the Team Bubble Bath part.
Well, no, the way it works is since they created it, their name is in the credits, and you can't alter that. So if you modify it, then your name would be added to the credits, and so they would still get credit for their creation.
I think
I don't know if they can lock it or not.
I think you can lock certain maps that you're working on to be only editable and copyable by either the creator or certain people that you explicitly set in those maps. So it might be one of those maps where I can't copy it. I
take a look.
Sure. give a shot, see if it's something that I can rip out and like, okay, I'll just take this little corner out in the ocean, get little containers, shipping containers, since that was the classic experience. Put it around.
Because, you know, you have to put the full load on the system. So you have to load the whole map.
But the game isn't going to be, well, I guess it'll draw it whenever you go up over the containers as you're exploding your way up into the sky. I don't know. Maybe I'll, unless someone wants to volunteer and do that, but maybe I can put some time into it. Good luck trying to get 16 people though for the full experience. I guess 4v4 would be at least a decent way to test it. So yeah, maybe I'll spend an hour or two trying to throw something together. I mean, if we could and really stress test Infinite, I think that would be a good way to do it. I really do. I actually wish it'd be interesting to have just a closed box in the water and have it, because there's dynamic lighting in Infinite and you can make a truly dark map, what you could do is have those crystals be light sources for an enclosed area, an enclosed box, and you'd maybe make the box that goes super sky high. But that's the only light source. And then it's the needles as they come out. Those are additional little light specks. And that's the Team Bubble Bath. It's Team Bubble Bath at After Hours. Or Team Bubble Bath Midnight Edition.
You know, that would have been a good one to do in Halo 4 with the Promethean vision.
Oh. Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah. Yeah, Team Bubble Bath After Dark. And I don't know. It would be interesting to get people's opinions on, should it be just a completely flat surface or should it be kind of varied terrain? Because I'm thinking of, if you take like the part of Snowbound where there's kind of the little cave that you can walk into and it's like a little tunnel, it's like maybe have a couple of those, but inside of those is one of the little blamite things. So someone from the outside could shoot that and it could ricochet off. And if someone's trying to hide, then it prevents them from hiding there for too long. Might be a quick getaway, but.
He's putting a lot of thought into this.
And then with the DMR, do you do that as the needle rifle? And Bobby's sending me now gifts on Discord. Or do you do it with the BR for the needle rifle? Interesting thoughts. We'll start with the baseline, see if we can get Zanzibar. If not, just a box with needlers and go for it. Anyways, there's also a dig site, getting back on topic, article. The Dixite team has more content to release. This one, in terms of actual game content, as far as some old map files, mission files, some old resources and geometry. There's some kind of technical jargon in here of game engine type things that are also kind of core to some of the older Halo games, Halo 2 and Halo CE specifically. And there's also a cannon fodder which covers some of some other concept pieces as well from the dig site stuff going on. So some interesting stuff there. The cannon fodder also has some other Lord related stuff as well. Yeah, leave it at that. So that's all the official news. Oh, one other thing I actually forgot as far as official news. HCS Atlanta is the last major before Worlds, I believe. And that's taking place. Is it the last major? So the last major or the second to last major? I think it might be the last one. That is taking place at the end of this month, June 26th through the 28th. Tickets are available and it's being hosted by FaZe Clan. So if you're into the competitive scene and want to get your tickets, now is the time to do it. Seeing if what the schedule is. Of course, it's not easy to find on their website, which still just baffles my mind.
Why would they want to make the information easy to see? It's like they want people to show up or something.
There is one more event. It is August 24th and 25th, Salt Lake City, hosted by Space Station. So, yeah. Well, I think that's it for now. nothing good is going to come of what? The Team Bubble Bath stuff pins? Is that what you're talking about? Oh, come on.
Yes.
Team Bubble Bath is fun. It's chaotic. You want to come help me forge it? Anyways, unless you have anything else, GT, that you've heard of or caught wind of news-wise, I think that'll be it.
Yeah, nope.
Okay. All right, well, thank you for listening, folks. We'll be back next week. I know there's some other topics that we haven't touched on that the community's been heavy in, so maybe we'll talk about some of those next week, and I'll post some inquiries in the Discord for feedback items, and we'll talk about it on the next show before we dive into books in a couple of weeks. Gotta give GT a chance to re-listen to them since I'm behind and he's ahead. So, there you go. This will probably be out by the time Fragment Friday passes, but just a reminder, no Fragment Friday for July 12th, but we will be back the following Friday for Halo Shenanigans and Halo Infinite. And hopefully the Sentry Defense is still up and we can play that as a group. Other than that, thank you all for tuning in on the live stream. Thank you all for listening on the podcast download. We appreciate you all and we'll catch you all later. Thank you for listening to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. You can find our podcast on your favorite podcasting service and listen to us live every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch. Check out our website, podtacular.com, and join the community on Discord at podtacular.com/discord. If you want to play Halo with us, come join us for Fragment Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Become a supporter of the show by sharing the show with your friends and family, or help keep the lights on by subscribing to us on Twitch, donating via PayPal, or becoming a patron alongside Confal, Pens Halo, and Prestige Ace. Until next time, keep on fragging trucks.